Our scripture today comes from Isaiah. Isaiah being a great prophet. Isaiah was someone who offered people hope. He offered hope to his people. He said, in the last days of the mountain of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and the nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. And the law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord will come from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations, and he will settle disputes for many people. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. What is hope? Emily Dickinson puts it this way. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. For too many people today, the bird of hope has ceased to sing its song. Too many tragedies of life have robbed us of hope. And for many people in Isaiah's day, the same thing happened. They lost their hope at a critical time in history when war and conflict abounded. People's hearts had turned away from God, and they were worshiping idols. They had superstitions. They were rebellious. And people were indifferent about the spiritual truth. God wasn't a big deal. They had other more important things. Isaiah came on the scene during war times with a message of hope and a promise of salvation. His message of hope came early in his career between the prosperity of Uzziah and the reforms of Hezekiah. The land, as he saw it, was destitute. It had everything but God. They needed Isaiah to plant a seed of hope. They had put things in their lives first that were interesting and shiny and comfortable. Things that, for all intents and purposes, should have fulfilled them. But because they weren't eternal, they didn't. Does this sound familiar? Let's see how today's scripture speaks to us about hope. Speaking during critical times, Isaiah pointed out several things that helped the people see that all wasn't lost. There was hope. He was saying to them, look at the seed of hope. Things are not always going to be this way because, first, the mountain of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established. So that was meaningful to them because mountain referred to the site on which the temple in Jerusalem was built. So it was important that it be established. The significance was that Jerusalem was the center of spiritual worship, the place where God's presence physically dwelled. In other words, what he was saying is it was possible to find hope by refocusing their attention on what was really important. Throughout scripture, reference is made to mountains a lot. I mean, if you just think about it, where does my help come from? It comes from the hills. They needed a place where they could put God in the highest possible place and not lose him in the shuffle. God needed to be placed in the center of all things, up high, for the people to see and to have access to. And he was saying, you don't see it now. Things look very dark. But don't give up hope. A day is coming when the Messiah will come. Salvation will be available to all people. And he adds that if people learn to walk in God's ways and put him first, there will be peace. If people put God first, there will be peace. But they need to make God's ways their lifestyle. Their perspectives would need to change. He said, look what'll happen. They'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. What a lovely image. I wonder how people received that message from Isaiah back in that day. I imagine some people said, that'll never happen. He must be dreaming. There's always been conflict and fighting and wars. It's a nice sentiment, but it's not real. Sometimes we refuse to believe any message of hope. We say, things will never get better for me. This is the way it's been for a long time, and it's not going to change. We may say things like, consumerism is a hungry animal that can't be turned around. We can say, if I don't get my kids presents for Christmas, they won't know that I love them. They won't feel joy. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. My health will never improve. My job situation will never change. My family will never change. Our country is going to hell in a handbasket. Sometimes when the pressures of life close in on us, the bird of hope has just about lost its song. But Advent reminds us that hope, love, joy, and peace are still alive. Remember that even during Isaiah's time, hope was planted with a simple seed, with his words to the people. The people of God had faith that the Messiah would come, just as the prophets of old said he would. And he did. He did. Because God keeps his promises. During Advent, we're given yet another opportunity to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Messiah. We can prepare our hearts for hope, for salvation, for blessings. So how do we prepare ourselves for this hope? Well, unfortunately, a lot of us try to manufacture hope through the traditions of the season. We load up our houses with colorful lights, and we trim the tree, and we pack our schedules to overflowing with events, and we fill our shopping carts, and we spend scads of cash, and we go into debt, and we have abundant holiday packages under the tree. And where's the hope? We pack in more, and we try to recapture the feeling of simple anticipation. Boy, would we rip open those gifts. Of course, when we rip open the bill, we try to recapture that feeling, that innocence from childhood, and we keep piling on to try to grab that intangible, simple gift that can only come from one source. Unfortunately, we believe things like If you make your house a beautiful Christmas montage of lights and gifts and pine needly smells, it'll transform hardened hearts and bring you back to the joy of yesteryear. And you'll feel like when you were 7 years old, and you'll be so happy and everything will be hopeful and magical. Look. Or if you buy this game, your family will come together every evening and they'll sit around the table and they'll reestablish values and improve communication and heal old wounds, and there will be hope and love and joy and peace. But you have to buy now. Too often we look for hope in the wrong places. In fact, it's these very things that clutter our houses and our hearts and our minds. And quite honestly, they shove the hope of the Messiah aside. Hope comes through simple acts of kindness and love, showing people that God is a God of love and generosity and mercy and grace. The message of the Bible is that no situation whatsoever is without hope. Isaiah brought this hope to his people, a message that they so desperately needed to hear. And the message to us is that God has the ability to transform any situation. Any situation, no matter how hopeless, and turn it into hope. But we have to stop looking in the wrong places. One thing to remember is that we don't have to manufacture our own hope. Scripture tells us in Psalm 26:5, "My hope comes from God, not from Milton Bradley." Einstein said, "Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results." Don't we kind of go through things every Christmas and we're looking for that spark? And we feel it. We do. We feel it occasionally. We feel it when we light candles on Christmas Eve. There are certain places. There are certain little things. So when we feed the consumeristic beast, we shouldn't wonder where all the magic is gone. Each year, we find ourselves falling into the same traps. But you have the power. You have the ability, you have the choice to take a step back and rekindle that hope that God so desperately wants to give us and wants to share with the world through you. Planting hope through the practice of adventing or preparing means showing people what the spirit of Christ's birth really is. And that is not getting a cute set of mittens that were on sale. It's giving sacrificially to someone who may or may not deserve it, without expectation. It means abandoning consumeristic mindset. It means giving generously from the heart. It means prioritizing quality time with loved ones and offering kindness to strangers. It means speaking from the heart and giving affirmation, taking a risk. It means finding ways to pay unconditional love forward. When we offer hope to people in Jesus Christ, we have increased the light in the world. I pray that you will use this Advent, this time of preparing your heart, by offering people you know and people you don't know a sample of what God's gift to us looked like. The world is hungry right now for hope. They're hungry right now for God's presence, and they don't even know what that looks like. This Advent, let's plant that seed of hope. Let's us do that in a hope-hungry world.